Howdy, partner. Welcome to Chimpyowns, to Deadlands Reloaded. We left it last time where this childish apparition had tried to drive you out of the school again and, well, failed. But maybe got a bit closer than last time, leaving Jebediah a little bit shaken. And I think both Wolf and Reverend Allen, although Reverend Allen had a bit of a near miss, got away scot-free, didn't you, I believe?
Yep.
And then, yeah, it withdrew again when it wasn't getting anywhere. So, if you want to deal yourself each 3 bennies apart from Jebediah, because you only get 2, don't you, I believe?
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know what you're dealing with for the rest of the session? So you're now stood in what is pretty much the structurally sound classroom, but most of the furniture is now in pretty bad repair after it's been hurled around the room and specifically at you. So there is a lot of broken desks now, very few unbroken ones.
Well, I gotta say, I'm getting a little bit nervous about all this this business. Are you sure you wanna spend the night in here? Maybe we should find another room.
Well, I ain't been finished with getting rid of this spirit yet, so I ain't going nowhere.
Okay, very good, Reverend. But I'm just thinking. I mean, we had a sort of camp bivouac thing, but I suppose we can clear a space, can't we? And they can get their heads down.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'd imagine you just throwing bedrolls down on the floor.
Floor, yeah. There's plenty of floor.
Yeah, there is. It's a very big room. It's obviously a single room for intention was, you know, in this sort of town, which is school all the children. So, you know, you may well have a variety of ages. So it's, yeah, big room.
Well, then I guess it's still my turn to watch if you guys want to get some shut eye. Don't worry, Wolf. I'll be sure to wake you in the event there's any more apparitions.
Fine.
So you try as best to settle back into the routine. Obviously, Jebediah, you're watching. It's probably a little bit unnerving, but the rest of the evening is quiet. You know, this whatever it is seems to have bursts of activity, it would seem. Much like maybe a child's tantrums.
I can just hear the wolves barking in the distance.
Yeah, me too, yeah. It's not even mine. So yeah, but the rest of the night passes peacefully. Although, as I say, yeah, you're probably feeling a little bit jumpy, Jebediah. And again, the next day is now into the 5th day of your sanctification, Reverend Allen. So you're getting, you know, you're on the final stretch, as it were. And yeah, you know, again, you just follow the same routine. You notice that, you know, you've been here a few days. I think you probably have picked it up before now, but I just sort of stress that the local townspeople are, you know, still not paying you very much heed. They seem to avoid this side of town pretty much, you know, because you know that, well, obviously you're in the school building. The building to the right of it seems to be, although new, seems to be unused. The building to the left is the guest house, which, well, there don't seem to be many travellers coming in and out. The church, well, that's maybe on Sunday, maybe it'll pick up. And then there's the Jeweled Theatre across the road, which does get some traffic as the evening goes on, but no one sort of comes down this, is it 3rd Street, I think it's called. And yeah, it's a bit unnerving, you know, you're sort of in on the edges of a town and, you know, you don't see many people. It's quite strange. But yeah, you and I also imagine, Reverend Allen, that it's probably getting a bit taxing for you just because, you know, the mundanity of doing the same thing over and over again, days on end. But yeah, you get through another day.
I know I can do it.
Yeah, yeah, it's not, it's more, well, yeah, boring is probably more than taxing. It's more keeping your concentration. And Wolf, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I imagine it all seems considerably, you know, remains considerably odd.
It is odd, but I'm more interested that this creature is, like, you know, what the chief's been describing, something from death. And I'm just interested in the Reverend's way of getting rid of it.
Yeah, because in some ways it's maybe not a million miles away. I mean, you're no shaman, so. But maybe it's probably not a million miles away and being very ritualistic and, you know, like sort of like some of the shaman ceremonies. So, yeah, there's certainly a parallel there.
Yeah. And the fact that they've only got one god.
Yeah, yeah, that is very odd. Why do you only have one?
Yeah.
Who does this god think he is?
And so many preachers.
So, yeah, I mean, Jebediah, then, you know, I guess the routine is he sort of sleeps till, you know, late morning or early afternoon or whatever because he's been watching all night.
Yeah, yeah, snoring away.
And, you know, the Monday, you know, yeah, you do that. It's what's become a bit of a grind there, really, four days. In the evening, you know, Jebediah is obviously getting ready to, you know, maybe go and entertain himself a little bit before his stint later on. You know, he's working, for anyone who's worked shifts, he's in that shift mode where you do all things at odd times. But as he's getting ready, you know, you see a couple of people actually approach the schoolhouse, which is a bit unusual, but it turns out that it's two of the women from the from the Jeweled Theatre, although they're not in their regalia, as it were. And yeah, Jebediah, you recognise, you know, they're sort of a couple of the hostesses you've been spending time with, and they sort of, you know, although they're not in their gear, they sort of say, Jebediah, would you like to join us for dinner?
I'd be delighted, ladies, if you two gentlemen don't mind. I can always bring you a doggy bag, if you get him peckish.
Some sustenance would be great, thank you.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we can do that. There's plenty to spare.
Excellent.
So yeah, Jebediah disappears off for his evening's respite. Welcome to a little Champions side quest, really.
Yeah, sort of interlude. Champions interlude.
Yeah, interlude to the interlude of a side quest of a slightly different system, just because we needed a break.
Let's get
that may never make it. I may just record something separate.
Let's get the sensible players together. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, the sensible player. you notice, you see someone walking over to the schoolhouse. You know, even based on the few days you've been here, this schoolhouse is obviously a place that most, you know, sensible folk tend to avoid. And you obviously see why now you've been here a little while. But it takes you like only a moment or two to realise that the two women walking over are actually Evelyn and Nancy. The two girls from the, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
From the Jeweled Theatre. The reason you don't recognise them instantly is because they're not wearing their sort of, shall we say, costumes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're dressed more mundanely, although, you know, they're, you know, sort of breeches and shirts, but their shirts are buttoned just a little bit too low to be maybe decent, and the breeches look like they've been tailored to be just a little too close-fitting for someone who's really going out riding. But yeah, they come over. Well, good evening.
Well, hello, hello, ladies, and what can we do for you?
They sort of look at Reverend Allen and Wolf, and they give them, you know, pleasant enough smiles, but it's more what you can do for us. We're our night off, and we thought, you know, you've been, you're pleasant company, and We thought it might be nice to invite you to dinner.
Well, you know, ladies, I'd be delighted. And let's just walk away a little and discuss this privately. And I'll usher them away from the schoolhouse.
Yeah, and as you sort of walk away, they, you know, each one of them sort of takes an arm and steers you towards the Jewel Theatre, effectively, as you walk away.
What sort of time is it?
It's 6-ish. Time's up to you, really, but it's early evening. It can be later.
So I've got. Well, no, if it's 6-ish, that's fine. I've got plenty of time. Well, remember, ladies, that I have an appointment to keep, but I'd be delighted to spend the evening with you once again. And, well, if dinner's on you, then what can I say?
Well, it is. We're the ones who are asking you to dinner, not you're not asking us to keep you company.
Well, I'm more than delighted in that case, and lead on.
And lead on they do. So yeah, they take you over to the Jeweled Theatre. Obviously, this is where they live as well as where they work. And yeah, as you go in, you know, it's quite early, so the place is still, like, you know, prepping to open, as it were, which is something you've seen before the first time you came in here when you were asking questions. That it's quite a big big open room. You know, it's a bar, quite a substantial bar, really, down, you know, the right-hand side. There's, like, tables sat, you know, dotted around the place, and each sort of sits in its own sort of island of light cast by these hooded lanterns that are already lit on the tables, issuing the telltale glow of, you know, dull amber.
Mm.
And the lights, you know, the stage lights, which are not gas, they're just oil, you know, are all lit and ready, so the stage is prepared. And, you know, you can hear the faint sounds of piano music already tinkling out from behind the curtains at the back of the stage. You know, so it feels nice ambience, as it were.
Mm.
You see, like, Belle, who is the madame of the house, is, you know, behind the bar, you know, busying herself, straightening things up, you know, getting ready for the evening's trade, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
And Belle dresses, you know, quite considerably more modest than the girls who are working, although most church women would still find it scandalous.
That's Belle, the madame,
yeah. I think you'd have picked up a few of the names. So there's, as you go in, there's the main staircase is just to the right, you know, almost an instant invitation up to the rooms, and already, you know, the Chinese girl that you've seen before, whose name is Dai Ti. She's already sort of draped herself on the stairs, as it were, you know, waiting for the first clients to sort of come in and, you know, catch their eyes.
Mm.
And she, you know, she smiles at the three of you as you come in, and you know, again, not sort of maybe the salacious smile of that she would maybe use when she's working, more just the smile of colleagues coming in.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give her a little wave.
Well, yeah, you go to give her a wave, but Nancy and Evelyn are steering you straight towards the stairs anyway. And she, you know, she begins to move out of the way as Belle sort of calls across the thing and says, why don't you girls head straight up? I'd just like a private word with Jebediah for a moment. I won't keep him long, I promise. You can go and prepare. And they just sort of shrug and say, oh, okay.
Well,
and release you from that iron grip. And they head up.
I promise not to keep you too long, ladies. But the madame calls, so one must obey.
So, yeah, you head over. And as you head over, you see she pours you a whiskey. And she says, Jebediah, isn't it?
Indeed it is, madame. And may I call you Belle? Or...
Of course, of course. Belle of the ball, don't you know?
Indeed, I do.
So, you and your friends are a bit of an odd bunch, but Well, you seem to be treating my girls pretty well, and well enough for them to actually want to spend time with you without you paying for their services, which is interesting. Considering the men of this town, someone with a bit of life in them is a novelty in itself. And you seem a pleasant enough chap, and you're certainly pleasant enough on the eye.
Well, I can assure you, Belle, that I have nothing but the most gentlemanly intentions towards your ladies. They are indeed fine individuals, and I offer them only my most honest respects, and indeed you yourself. For I am not one of those men prey to, preconceptions about the nature of an establishment such as this.
I must say, you and your fellow reverend, your attitudes to my establishment are a welcome breath of fresh air. And yes, I confess, I did just want to let you know that we're a tight family here, and I look after my girls, and obviously they look after me in their own way. Not only do I look after my girls, but as I say, we're a family, and as they're not working, I look after my family far more furiously, maybe, than I would my employees. I just wanted to let you know that. That was all. I don't doubt your intentions. I just didn't want you to be under any misapprehensions that not all my girls, but I am certainly capable of dealing with ungentlemanly conduct. And I would hate to see them. Well, they're always going to have their hearts broken. They're still maybe just young enough to be foolish enough. And, well, I just wanted to say my piece. I'm sure you will break their hearts, but just don't break them in the wrong way, if you see what I mean.
Well, Belle, firstly, may I say that I am honoured to be addressed by you in such a manner, but I can assure you that, I personally have taken a great liking to both Nancy and Evelyn, and the last thing I would ever wish to do is to break either of their hearts. Indeed, I've come to feel a kind of, shall we say, brotherly sort of concern for their well-being, and may I say yours also, madam. And the jewel theater has found a place in my heart, and on all those who dwell and toil within it. And if I can ever be in your service, then you can be assured that I will hear your call.
Well, sir, that is most unexpected. Thank you. And she pours you another whiskey. Don't let me delay you any longer. They have a meal waiting for you. I'd hate for it to go cold. Let me not ruin the surprise. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you, Belle. And may I ask that I may speak with you privately at another juncture?
Of course, yes.
Well, thank you, madame, and I'll see you in due course, but my mail awaits, and give her a bow and head for the stairs.
Yeah, so you head for the stairs. It's only been a few minutes, the store not open, as you pass Di. She says it's Evelyn's room you'll be wanting. I imagine you've probably got a rough idea. You've been here a couple of times now, and it's not that big a place.
Yeah, I imagine so. So I'll make my way up the stairs and find it.
So yeah, as you enter, as you push the door open, you can. It's a like faint scent of roses, but whether your guy would know that or not, I don't know. And also a slight hint of humidity in the air. And you see that, like, the furniture seems to be slightly rearranged to make room for a table that seems to have been, you know, set for three people. And also to make room for a large tin bath, which seems to be full of sort of piping hot water as the steam gently rises off of it. And Evelyn's currently sort of leant over it, stirring in some sort of bath salts. She, you know, she looks up, smiles at you, and says, bath first.
Well, ladies, I don't want you to put you to too much trouble, but, well, I have to say, a night,
Well, you're sleeping over in that schoolhouse. We thought, nice bath, nice meal, some nice relaxation therapy for dessert, maybe.
I can definitely say that is most welcome. I can't say no to a bath, and I can't say no to a good meal, and I cannot for sure say no to your good notices.
So, yeah, you Nancy and Evelyn, you know, they bathe you in whatever way you see fit, whether you are joined or not, but they'll certainly help you clean yourself. And, you know, one of them disappears briefly to go and fetch what's quite a simple meal, but it's you know, it's well flavoured, and, you know, it's not like eating bloody rations and tack like you've been eating. You know, just like a some sort of porky stew with bread and all that sort of stuff. And then Nancy, you know, towards the end of that, disappears downstairs to fetch dessert from the kitchen, and, you know, comes back with apple pie, cream, and just a penny on. You enjoy their company for the evening, shall we say.
Very good.
I'm finding it quite weird how quickly we've found a threesome just to be run-of-the-mill.
Well, that's London life for you. What can I say?
yeah, just far too sheltered. And yeah, so you enjoy their company for the evening, and yes, as I say, you know, they are playing hostesses to you, not as in their trade, but as in friends with benefits, if you like.
And well, what can I say, my good ladies? But you have pierced my heart with your kindness this evening, and I hope to say that we have formed a genuine bond between us, and I will never, as God hears me now, I will never refuse your call, should you need help of me and my big oafish ways, to if ever you should need my aid, then I shall hear your call, and that is my solemn vow to you both. My God, that's another vow I've got. Jesus.
And, you know, with that, they pull you back into their embrace for another short time, or long time, if you so prefer.
Well, you know, I've got to keep an eye on the time, but
yeah, I mean, you've had a full 6 hours to blow on having a bath, having a meal, and spending time with two beautiful and, for want of a better word, talented women.
Well, I'd hope that they too would find time for a bath, unless they've already.
Well, they may well have been sharing it with you if you so choose. Well, so yes. I don't want to go into too much detail on that. It's just a little bit uncomfortable.
Fair enough, but that seems appropriate. I wouldn't want them to, you know, to forsake the qualities of a good bath. So I think that's entirely appropriate. Yeah.
After a while, you're woken from your, shall we say, post-coital doze, which you didn't intend to nod off because you know that, you know, you're meant to be back for midnight. But, you know, you're woken by sort of the familiar sounds of, like, cards being, you know, sort of fan shuffle, and slightly less familiar sounds of, like, subtle humming. And, you know, your eyes automatically sort of flick to your own jacket where your own cards are.
Mm.
But your gaze is stopped short by the unmissable sight of the buffalo hide card case that your cards come in. And you know it must be yours because they've still got your brother's initials branded on the front of the case.
Mm.
And, you know, for a moment you feel a bit piqued that, you know, even though Nancy and Evelyn have obviously taken a liking to you more than just as a client, the fact that they're rummaging through your stuff seems a bit, you know, untowards, until you realise that they're still both sort of tangled in the sheets with you.
Say, ladies, were you aware that someone had entered our room?
So, yeah, as you turn, you know, to talk to them, they're both sound asleep. And you speak to them, but they don't react at all. They seem to be very soundly asleep. And you see sat on the far side of the table is a small girl. The scene would be sort of comical-ish, really, if it wasn't for those tight golden locks, her little hands that are handling the deck like some sort of card sharp, as she, like, you know, shuffles the cards in variously more and more intricate ways.
I know you, little girl. I will extricate myself gently from the embraces of Nancy and Evelyn.
And yeah, as you start to rise, she says, I don't want no trouble, mister. I just want to talk. I tried talking to the other preacher, but he won't talk to me, he won't listen.
Well, I can assure you, little girl, that in my current predicament, I wish nothing other than to talk.
And she smiles, and, you know, her eyes aren't those complete pits that you've seen previously when she's tried to terrify you, but they're still, the pupils and the colour around it are solid black, you know, they're obviously not quite human, and she smiles, you know. What's behind the teeth seems like a pit. You know, it's just complete darkness. And she says, when Papa told me we were leaving and heading for the City of Lost Angels, he said I should go and say goodbye to any folks I wanted to. Well, all my friends had already left and I was kind of sad, so I'd never had a chance to go to the schoolhouse, but we talked about it plenty, so I decided I'd go and at least sit in there just once, you know? And, well, I sat at the teacher's desk and I pretended to be the teacher and pretended my friends were there, and that made me feel good for a bit. But that was sort of until the bad man came. He talked dead nice to me and he asked if I was lost and if I was okay and, you know, all those things. But before I realised it, he grabbed hold of my arm, and then once he shoved his kerchief in my mouth, that's when he got really nasty. And the louder the sounds that my bones made when he broke them, the harder he laughed. And then when I woke up, I felt kind of funny. Nothing hurt like it should, seeing as he'd done all those horrible things to me, but I was just like all cold and empty. So I ran home, but there was no one there. And the house was empty, and the horse and wagon had gone, and it's all a bit blurry, but Mama and Papa had gone. They'd been gone a week, I think. They looked for me, but I disappeared, and, well, those things sometimes happen, and, well, I guess they thought the worst, and they left. And it's all a bit wobbly until you and that other preacher and the brave came along. And I remember throwing stuff and scaring folks and things like that, but what that preacher's doing is seems to be making me think a bit straighter, and but it hurts. All those bits that bad man broke, they burn now. But well, since you and your friends came to town, things are changing. I'm changing. The bad man hurt me, and she places, you know, deals a card face down on the table. And then you came to my schoolhouse, and she deals another card. And your preacher starts praying, and she deals another card. And I can't scare you off no how, no what, no way. And she deals another card. And she says, Mister, I think we might be able to help each other. I heard you muttering in your sleep, and I know that that book you're after, I know where there is a copy. But the book ain't enough. The book just tells you how you play the game. She says, you know, looking at the four cards on the table. But it's a game that you play like, is it bridge? Or you need a partner? And I don't want to die, mister. She deals like the fifth card onto the table, making a poke hand. If you will partner with me, we both get what we want. You get the book, I get to keep being. And your preacher friend ain't ever going to find out, because if we do this, his prayers can't hurt me. Well, not them prayers anyway. And I'll stop being naughty, so he thinks he done a good job.
I'll get up from the table and from the bed, rather.
You willing to play this hand with me? She says, looking at the hand on the table.
Maybe I am, child. But before I do, I'll sit down at the table, naked as I am. But first I want you to tell me your name.
My name, mister, my name is Bonnie Dakota.
Why did your parents leave, child?
Well, we were meant to be leaving anyway, and it's not unheard of for, you know, little, for the young'uns. I say young'un like me, sometimes, you know, accidents happen. And you would know, you know, it's the Wild West, man. It's, you know,
yeah.
You know, kids wander off and have an accident, and you, I mean, you're in a, you know, okay, it is quite a developed town for a mining town, really. But it's not, you don't have to wander far before, you know, you're in places where if you die in a ditch, no one's ever going to find you.
Yeah, fair enough. And why did you want us to leave? Why didn't you say something before? Was it because the priest hurt you?
No, because that's all I knew. I don't remember well. I was cross. I didn't want anyone taking the schoolhouse away from me. But now that doesn't seem so important.
Very well. And this bad man who hurt you, can you remember anything about him?
He was kind of skinny. Got red hair, but that's not unusual. Big beard. I didn't recognize him.
You'd never seen him before?
I'd never seen him before. And apart from him being a lot of hair and it being red, I didn't have long before the pain was, well, that's all it was.
And you think, little girl, that if we work together, you won't feel that pain no more?
Well, I only started feeling it since your preacher friend started saying them prayers. But as I say, I've changed. I can't explain it, but I just know that if I can find someone who wants to partner like you, then I'm not tied there anymore in the same way. I don't know how I know that. I just do. So with him doing what he's doing, it won't affect me anymore. He's...
Well, little girl, your story tugs at my heart, and I'm loath to leave you to that kind of pain. That's not to say that I trust you, but I want you to tell me what you need me to do to form this partnership.
You just need to say yes, and I'll tell you where the book is, and then we are. That is it.
And you'll stop holding the school?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me anything else about the kind of malaise that sits over this town?
Well, I know there's other bad things. I don't know much. I heard you talking. I know you think that I couldn't leave the school, but as you can see, that I've always been able to leave the school. I just never wanted to. I can get around most of the town if I so choose, but the town's bad. It's been going bad since the mine went bad.
I understand, yeah. The money dried up. People look to new horizons, I understand. Well...
And people started getting mean and ornery and... Well, more than before. I mean, it's... And my papa always said frontier towns are always like this. It's people are looking after themselves, no matter how big smile they paint on their faces. And I don't... I'm sure we'll learn this together, but I it feels like I'm growing up, but my body isn't, if you see what I mean. I seem to see things different. Maturing. The same things don't mean the same. I don't know how to say it properly.
Well, I understand, child. How old were you when your parents left? How old were you when you first went to the school? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I was 8. Well, I'm 8.
Well, I pity you, child, and I'm willing to make you a partner. And so I say yes to your offer.
She claps her hands in a very childish gesture. She says, well, I can't do fucking super excited child. I just can't envision how it's... she says, well, mister, you've been in my... Well, they're not my school anymore. You've been in that school and your friends for... And stirring up all that trouble for all this time. But you haven't even checked around. You go looking... The school mom's cupboards, you'll find all sorts of things in there, all sorts of books, and some other things too. Once you've done that, then I'll come see you again.
Well, little girl, I'm going to take you at your word.
She leans forward, which seems an impossibility. There's too much distance between you across the table. But she just leans forward, kisses you on the cheek, and then just vanishes.
I feel I've been here somewhere before. I'll gather up the cards and put them in the wallet. And
the main deck is in a nice pile. She's left it in there, and then there's the poker hand laid out face down in front of you.
And what does the poker hand say?
Well, I suppose it does speak in its own way. So yeah, as you flip them up, pick them up to put them back in the deck. So yeah, you turn them over, and you turn over a king of spades, a jack of spades, a queen, a king, and an ace, revealing a royal flush of spades.
That seems kind of ominous, but a bit late now. So.
Well, spades, mining town.
I'll shuffle that into the deck and gather up my accoutrements. And
and as you're doing that, both Evelyn and Nancy sort of start to make those sort of sounds of waking.
My and
they look at you with sort of sleepy, contented eyes and sort of say, oh, is it that time already? Well.
I'm sorry, my ladies, but duty calls. Meanwhile, I hope you're excused from the theatre this evening.
As I say, this is our night off. We don't. It was good a bell. We don't. We normally, two of us don't normally have the same night off. But she made an exception for us tonight.
Well, it's been a most beauteous evening, and
indeed it has, sir.
And I renew my vow to you, spoken only an hour before, that if you ever have need of my company, or indeed my pistol, then you should only call upon me. And
well,
I will
are you
answer.
Sure you haven't got 15 minutes? You do look good enough to eat.
You flatter me, ladies, but unfortunately, duty call.
I think you might have to make some sort of will roll here. You've got two incredibly attractive women desperately trying to entice you back into bed.
Okay, fair enough. Let me have a
I'm not sure what that would be. It would be a spirit roll, I would think.
Spirit roll, yeah. Okay, very good.
And they are trying hard, so it's going to be opposed. And do you know what? That's one of the skills they're really good at.
Oh, I got a raise.
All that cleavage and the way that Nancy's fondling Evelyn's bottom, that is too much to resist. And they end up enticing you back for a brief, you know, you've been hard at work all evening. You've not got a lot left to give. And then, yeah, you sort of, you know, after spending another, short but very enjoyable time, you sort of head back over to the schoolhouse, quite possibly more dirty than before you got into the bath.
Well, I'll give them both a kiss and make my farewells, make my excuses and leave. But, you know, I will see you ladies on the morrow.
Let's see you tomorrow, sir. So, yeah, you slip back to the schoolhouse. Wolf is still watching over Reverend Allen as he's doing his stuff. You're not late, but you're getting close. But are you going to have a quick rummage?
I certainly am.
So, yeah, you go into the school mom's office and you realise you did go in here initially. I can't remember which one of you it was. Might even have been you, but it literally stuck your head through the door, then went into the main room. And then, of course, Bonnie materialised and all hell broke loose. And then you focused on that room ever since.
Do you want me to use a stealth roll?
No, because Reverend Allen's, still doing these, mainly doing, the perimeter of the thing and the perimeter of the building, I guess. So, yeah, certainly once you're in the building, and they wouldn't think twice about you coming in here, dropping your stuff off before you go to keep watch or whatever.
Very good.
The school mom's office is, it's not massive, but it's not a small room either. It's 6x8, and it's much like the schoolroom was before Bonnie destroyed most of it. It's been kitted out, and there's all the accoutrements of a headmistress or headmaster or what, teacher here, but they look primarily undisturbed, like someone's come in, set everything up ready to use, but it hasn't really been used, which is the impression you got first time. It's pretty much undisturbed.
Yeah,
can you just roll me a, I suppose notice would probably be the best one.
Okay.
But you get +2 because you know it's in here somewhere.
Okay. That's 9.
Oh, yeah, easily. So, yeah, you go through the desk drawer, seem the obvious choice first, but there were a few built-in cupboards, which I did mention. And, yeah, you open one, and as you open it, a couple of things hit you in more than one way. First of all, is the stench, because as it opens up, it looks like maybe a horse blanket or something has been sort of shoved in there to act like a seal. And as that falls out, the stench of death hits you in the face. A book tumbles out. Also, so does a desiccated arm, you know, of a small child. You can see, you know, the forearm has been broken in several places. It looks like every finger's been snapped.
My God. Yeah. Well, I gather up the book and I gather up the bones. And
they're not bones. She's just desiccated.
I can't even.
Just roll me a healing.
No. No.
She's been dead a while. You're not really sure how long, but enough for a, you know, this, the hot started, you know, not mummifying her, but, you know, dehydrating effectively. But yeah, she's certainly been dead a good few weeks, possibly longer, but somewhere between a few weeks and 6 months, probably. About all you've got. So yeah, you pick up Hoyle's book of games and her broken, emaciated body. And I think that's probably the place to leave it, because I'm sure that's where, when we play next time, you will be bringing this to the other players' attention.
Well, that's fantastic, and thank you very much.
Hi, listeners. Just a very quick and hastily recorded outro. So first of all, I'd like to thank all our patrons again, particularly Ben Stiles, who is our newest patron. So thank you very much, Ben. We very much appreciate both the financial and the moral support more than anything. I'd also like to give Free SFX, Free Sounds, and Incompetech a massive thank you as well. All those three resources make a little hobby podcast like this far more achievable due to their generous model of allowing hobbyists like ourselves to use content just with attribution. And last but not least, Pinnacle Entertainment for creating the rules that we're using at the moment. There is a little bit more to be said about that, but I still have yet to record the proper outro to be able to do that. That's down to my own disorganisation and laziness. So again, thank you for listening, and we hope to be back with you again soon. Bye!